everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Remember, the Lord our God speaks to us in the heart. Everything that He chooses to say is needful. He say things to help get us on track. He loves us and He's watching out for us. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's going to happen. He knows how we're thinking. He knows what we can, what we receive. And He evaluates everything. Now, these broadcasts always honor God, saying that He evaluates everything. Because I know that if the Lord, if people take the Lord at His word, if they say, if they regard what He's saying to them, they're going to be better off. And they're going to do well in life. And they're not going to do bad. And the chances of them surviving is much higher because they love God. They love His word. They love His will. They love His people. And I want to see people in their best condition. I don't want to see people hindered by Satan. I don't want demons to overrun people's lives. I don't want worry and problems and false success to come and destroy their lives. I want to see God's handiwork. I've learned so much from the Lord, and I know He's good, and I thank Him for it. And I want to do all that's in His heart. I want to trust Him. I want to trust Him with everything. In every way, I want to trust Him. I don't want the Lord to desire something for me, and I can't get it. I don't want the Lord to desire to bless me or use me in a way, and then I'm not qualified. And I can't qualify myself. My only chance and my only hope is to obey Him. So I see the need, I see the importance of God governing my life, and I want it. And I know what it's like to desire to do God's will and everything goes south all the time. And the Lord give you knowledge and understanding, and you know that other people need it, and you can't deliver it to them. See, people, they'll come to a church assembly, and they'll listen quietly while the man of God speaks. But people don't do that often. In a conversation, when you're trying to give somebody a word, they interrupt and they talk and they never listen to you. They're thinking about what they're going to say. It's different than in a normal conversation. That's expected. That's fine. I mean, we should all listen to each other and regard what we're saying. But when God gives you a word and it's a specific thought that He wants you to share, you'll be surprised how hard it is to do that with an individual. People don't always, they're not always receptive, but when you go to church, people that go to church, they're usually after God's knowledge. And when people could, all men of God, they could be saying what's in God's heart. That'll bring things to the top. That'll help people the most. But when they preach cold doctrines, cold religion is something that will nullify your life. It won't work. Dead doctrine, lies, untruth. And people do it. And it's not isolated to one denomination of Christians. It's not isolated, it's tares. Wherever tares can get, that's where you're going to find false doctrine and all the influence of tares. You can trace things back to one thought, to one thing. Now, I trace all the wrong doctrine that people teach now. You can trace it right on back to Jerusalem. Because when the church was going about teaching the word of God and doing right, the Jews always interrupted. They always got a pushback from people who were not right with God. And I'm not downing the Jews at all. This is what they did. This is what happened. If you read Revelation, this is what happened. If you study Jeremiah chapter 6, you'll see it. And that's where it really started. But you can trace it all the way back to the witchcraft of Egypt. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he caused Israel to sin. He destroyed a nation with his witchcraft. And when Jesus came to his own people, they received him not. Not just the Pharisees, not just the Sadducees and the priests. The leaders and the people. Remember, Pilate put it, he tried to put it into the people's hand. And they were worse. Now I'm going to tell you what happened because of the laws of sowing and reaping. All the men that did wrong, they in hell. They were in hell. Jeroboam and all the people that got Israel to this wicked state. And every time they sinned, their punishment got worse. And every time another soul is deceived by their deception that they started, their punishment gets worse. Now think of all the people that they've cursed with their witchcraft and their sorcery. Now, I know that they taught false doctrine. They weren't like wizards, but they were. Rebellion is the same thing. It's all witchcraft. And the Pharaoh that started all this stuff, he's worse shaped than the rest of them. Don't listen to the devil. You can trace these things all the way back to Jeroboam and the Pharaoh that taught him witchcraft. It survived. It's got a new face, a new name. When preachers say the healing went out with the apostles or the Lord stopped sending the Holy Spirit, they're teaching wrong. I'm just using that for an example. There are many other things people teach that's just wrong. But what we have to do is study the word, fill our heart with the word of God. And he will correct, he will bring us forward. He will help us do the wonderful works of God. Daniel, you know, in Daniel's prophecy, he said, they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. That's the distinction, knowing God. You can't live with dead words. God's word is alive. It translates itself. It transforms people that receive it. The Lord gives you the knowledge, and then you have the ability to do something with that wonderful knowledge. You can act on it. You can forget about it. You can act like it's not true. You can rejoice and then forget about it. Or you can keep it and build your life with it. And I choose to do, I do rejoice, and I thank God for it. But I work hard not to forget it, because I receive it in my heart and I put it in my routine every day. That's what I do. I govern myself as I learn God's word, with God's word. All the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, I just try to incorporate it in my life. And I try not to forget about it. So I use confessions to help me stay on track, so that I'll always be willing towards the Father. If you can be willing continually, the Lord will keep giving you instructions and knowledge and assignments. That's running to his will. Being willing and obedient, man, that's the best. What else? You can't do no better than that. That's the best worship. Being willing towards God and obedient. It takes strength, it takes courage, it takes bravery. You become fearless with that kind of perfect love. And you can do it. And then you find out it's better. Now, my trust for God, I was telling a friend yesterday how, you know, we had a meeting, and sometimes people, don't like the leadership. I said, well, you know, you don't always get to, I said, if I was a leader, people, I would do things people may not like. If you was in charge, you'd do it your way. I said, but whoever's in charge, you know, it's honorable to respect what they're trying to do. They're not trying to do wrong. But do the things that they ask you to do. Because they have the position. And if you honor them, then God will honor you. I said, when Jesus come back, everybody might not like his leadership. I said, but it's right, and it's going to be perfect. I said, but, and I told him about how I learned to follow God. I said, I learned to trust and respect everything he said. I said, back in 1988, I kept having the same kind of problems in my business. And one day I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. I said, what I'm doing ain't working. And he showed me, he gave me my answer, and I knew it'll work. And I rejoiced. Then I said, wait a minute, Lord, you knew I needed to know that a long time ago. Now, I talked about this before, but I'll do it again. I said, you knew I needed to know this a long time ago. How come you didn't tell me months ago or years ago? And he said something that changed my life. He said, when a man leans to his own understanding, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And man, I said, I made a vow. I said, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you say do. Whether I love it, hate it, like it, or not, I'm going to obey you. I knew that God had my back. I knew something about God that I didn't know before. Or I didn't realize the way I did before. So I committed myself to obeying him. Now, he gave me instructions that I know I would not have done. But I made a vow, so I made myself do some of the things he gave me to do. He would give me words to tell people, and I wouldn't have told them. I would have been too, the way I thought before he said, tell them, was more negative. I would have thought that they wouldn't receive it, or I don't want to tell somebody that, something like that. And I would have been nervous. But I said, no, I told God I'll obey him, so I'm going to obey him. And I told the people what God said, or did the things that God said do. And sometimes it was gut-wrenching. I had to go and pray in the Holy Spirit, and study the Word just to do it. And I did it. But watch, it always worked. And sometimes people would it was just a word to them that put them over the top. And they rejoiced and they received it with gladness, and it worked out in their lives. And I saw what God was doing. I said, this is beautiful. I said, I wouldn't have done this thinking the worst. The devil will always show you the worst. He's hoping you'll always see the worst, but none of it's true. What God said is true. Sometimes I had to go and tell people a rebuke, like Jeremiah did. There are pastors I love. I had to basically rebuke them or tell them what would happen if they didn't obey God. I didn't want to tell them no bad news. I wanted to tell them good news, favorable news. But if you follow God, you can't always do that. You got to tell them what he said so that they can have balance, so that they can be right with him and not wrong. People follow the wrong paths because nobody say anything. And when a multitude is going along with the same thing, the more courage it takes to correct it. And the boldness that's required has got to come from people. Now, how can God get somebody to do it if everybody's nervous and afraid to say what's true? Because the focus is on the people and not God. And people can look scary. You can get in fear looking to people. Fear looks to man. But perfect love casts out fear. And then, watch this, I learned not to look at men. I learned to regard God. I learned to fear God and not man. I don't fear men anymore. I grew out of it because I kept following God. I say pretty much bold things on this broadcast. A lot of people are afraid to say. I say it on the radio, according to God's guidance. Whatever God guided me to do at the right time, I know it's time to do it, and then I say it. If I'm preaching in front of a crowd, I say what God say. If they don't want to hear what God say, they may not ask me to minister. I don't care. I'm going to say it God's way. Not afraid of man anymore. I learned it because I learned to listen to Jesus. I love his leadership. It's perfect. I want more of it. And I want to obey him in everything. And he can come up with some things that can really challenge you, things you've never thought about. And I know this. He may tell me to do something that I might have reserves about. And that's why I say I will do all that's in his heart. I'm saying it by faith. So that when the time comes, I won't fold. And I do it because it happened too many times. It happened before. And I don't want to waste time getting myself together. I want to jump into what God's wanting me to do. I want to do what the Father wants me to do. And I want to do it quick. Prompt. I don't want to go through phases of second guessing and durations of doubt. And the only way I know to kill it is to condition myself by saying I will do all that's in his heart. Sometimes the Lord do new things. I remember when I was teaching Sunday school at Life and Abundance Fellowship. And I was teaching Sunday school, and the Lord would give me what to teach. And one day, he gave me a word to the church, a word. He didn't give me an outline. He gave me a word. And I was instructed to teach the word. And I had never done that before. I didn't even know that could happen. But he gave me a word to that audience. And then I had to teach it line by line. I used scriptures and everything, just like it was an outline, but it was a word. It was prophetic. And then he did it more than once. I read the word, then I taught the word. And it was beautiful. The Lord can do things that you don't know he can do. And sometimes you just got to be ready to be on board with what he's doing. He's good, folks. He thinks of everything. As we follow him, your life is just like the book of Acts. If you keep following God, your life will be just like the book of Acts. Miracles happen. How far will you take it? How far will you go in obedience? Will you obey him a little bit, just enough? Or will you go over the top with it? I like the sayings of the Marines, be all you can be. Do all that's in God's heart. Not my heart. Not my limited knowledge. If I can just yield to the Holy Spirit long enough, he can do something that will just be a blessing to people. It'll hit the spot. It'll be love. It'll be good. It'll be a blessing. It won't hurt anybody. It won't shame people negatively. It will shame people positively, because it'll lead people to repentance. Sometimes people need to be ashamed of their sin, but not of their character, because we're made in God's image. And if we follow God, we'll be over the top. We'll be a blessing, not a curse. And it helps us stay out of competition. Competition is no good. I don't believe in competition. I'm not going to forget the face of my Father. As Christ is, so are we in this world, and so is everybody else. And I thank God for every soul. Everybody's important to God. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in our lives and throughout our lives. And he won't leave any joy out of our lives. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.